Well, coming up on September 9th and 10th over in the Shelby area, the annual Karsten's Farm Days. They have that beautiful 1880s Karsten's Farmstead there. We're going to talk a little bit about that today with one of the volunteers who's been so active in helping to make all this come to life. Terry Tornaten joins us here this morning. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. I'm glad to be with you and glad to talk about Karsten's Farm Days.
Absolutely. You've been a volunteer and helped to kind of coordinate things and been a part of that farmstead for some time now. Why did you get involved?
Well, the farm is really, you know, a place that we can come together here in our part of the state and celebrate our heritage and, you know, preserve some of the things that make Iowa, Iowa. And agriculture today has changed a great deal, and certainly we've benefited from a lot of technology, whether it's in the feedlot or in the field. It is exciting, though, to go back and see, you know, what started it all for so many of us in this part of the state and this part of the country. So demonstrating the old ways of doing things, and, you know, old is a relatively short period of time, but over the last 100, 125 years, the 2 days at the farm really do give a chance to showcase that and preserve some of those pieces of equipment, some of those techniques, some of the even traditions, I think, that make Iowa, Iowa.
And for those of us who've been there, and there have been a lot of folks there through the years, it really is a walk into the past.
Oh, it sure is. And, you know, maybe 7,000, 10,000 folks have come every weekend for the last, the show's been around 35 years. You know, it's been really big in the last 20 for sure, and it certainly is well known across this part of the state and maybe even the whole region here between Nebraska and Iowa. So we look forward to coming out and touring the, you know, 1880 horse barn, seeing the old barns that are preserved there, taking a look at some of the equipment that's on display, whether it's, you know, a small a little pop engine that sits out there and operates some little machine, or even possibly a old engine that powered a home washing machine at the time. Seeing some of those things, that's what really keeps people coming back year after year and helps the crowds grow every year. So the field work, seeing the harvesting that happens out there, whether it's with the early 1960s era combine or it's, you know, a one-row picker out there in the field, bringing in the corn, it's just something that not everybody gets to see that often anymore. So while back in the day, you know, that was the technology, and then there was a period of time we wanted to advance and, you know, got a 4-row combine or moved on to a 6-row combine, and certainly where we are today is a long ways from that even. But we've moved forward, and to step back for this weekend and take a look at those things, it brings back a lot of memories and just hopefully between generations, even a lot of stories that talk about how the old days were.
Absolutely. You and I were joking before we started the interview here on the radio this morning about teenagers mowing the lawn. How about those teenagers mowing the lawn the way they used to?
There are some old rotary lawnmowers out there, and there's some primitive lawnmowers that come out there too. So, yes, as we've had a little more rainfall here in southwest Iowa in the last week, 10 days, the grass has started to grow again, and, you know, those house yards needed tending in the olden days just like they do today, and it was certainly not as easy as going out and sitting on a ZTR John Deere mower with a key and powering it up and go do, you know, a large farm yard in an hour back then. It took a whole lot more, and probably there were even a few sheep and cattle involved in trimming the house yard time to time, and the geese certainly did their part nibbling on the grass too. So
yeah, you bet. Well, and if they were fortunate enough to have an ice box at all, somebody had to go down to the lake and cut the ice.
Yeah, that is one neat thing at the farm, because there is a pond down the hill from the house, and they're usually at the ice house there at the farm. There is a display that shows the old days of cutting the ice out there and loading it on skids and bringing it up through the field to put it in the ice house there at the farm, which is fairly close to the original family home. So the work was year-round. It just didn't stop when the weather got cold, because certainly there was always a task that needed to be done, and everybody was very self-sufficient in those days.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that's so popular during the 1880 farmsteads, farm days here during the course of early part of September, the steam and gas equipment that they have there, not like we use today, but it always draws a pretty good crowd.
Oh, it does. We have one steamer that has been there, I think, most every year of the 35 years of this show. The Sawyers family from Council Bluffs will be there again with the steamer this year, and it's always fun to watch that thing, whether it's in the parade, which happens both Saturday and Sunday at 2, or they're out doing, you know, horsepower testing in the field by hooking up to an implement, and, you know, maybe it's a plow. I'm not sure if they use the steamer on the plow, but they do hook the steamer up a lot of times to the threshing machines, which there's usually three or four threshing machines that are operating on the oats that are harvested out there at the farm. And to hear that old steamer go and the steam whistle when they blow the whistle and watch the black smoke billow out of it, that's something that kids always are thrilled to see. And a lot of adults, a lot of grandpas, makes their heart beat a little bit faster when they see that too.
Well, the farm days go on September 9th and 10th. Will there be these displays, these demonstrations going on constantly throughout that time?
Pretty much from Sunday morning. There is a thresher's breakfast both Sunday morning and Saturday morning. That starts at 6:30, and maybe there's still a lot of things being set up and getting going on Saturday morning that early, but usually by 9, everything is pretty much in place and operating, and, you know, things are really operating at full speed by 2 when the parade happens, because certainly a lot of people come out just to watch the parade that meanders around the farm both Saturday and Sunday afternoon. So the threshing breakfast starts. There's a full menu at the food stand throughout the weekend. There's vendors with, you know, kettle corn and other special treats that folks might like to buy. We certainly invite anybody who's interested in quilting to come out, because there is a quilt show that happens in the exhibit barn there at the farm, as well as a lot of handcrafts that other vendors have at the place. So there's something for everybody to see, and there's something for everybody to eat. And we always invite as many people as can come to Saturday night Staley's Chicken Dinner. The chicken's there at the farm. That starts at 5 on Saturday, and homemade desserts are a part of that meal. And it's a fundraiser for the farm, specifically for improvements at the farm and ongoing maintenance out there. So we really invite people for sure to that 5 o'clock supper there on Saturday evening. Just fun stuff. There's a blacksmith, there's corn shellers set up, and you can drop your own ear of corn in there and shell it. Like I talked about the threshing before, there's always plenty of threshing going on to see. There's bale making with antique hay balers, or in this case, straw balers. And then don't forget the food and the crafts and even homemade ice cream. Lazy Teas was there a couple weeks ago from down at Lewis. They did the ice cream social at the farm. They will have their ice cream there, and everybody can have homemade ice cream under the nice canopy of trees at the farm, which always is a comfortable place to be no matter what the weather.
Yep, sounds like you got all the family taken care of there. Very good.
There's something for everyone, you Jim, so come on out.
Well, and speaking of something for everyone, it seems like each year there's a different type of tractor that's featured. What do you have this year?
Yeah, good question. The featured tractor this year is green. It's John Deere this year. And something a little different, the board decided they wanted to focus on and feature the GPs and the Ds of John Deere's. So the 1930s, 40s, era John Deere GPs and Ds are what's actually going to be featured. There will be a lot of other green implements and green tractors that are there. So there will be something that everybody can find if they like John Deere's out there. And there's a lot of other colored tractors as well, so anybody who isn't even a John Deere fan will probably find something they like.
Oh, absolutely. Lots of color there, too. You bet. Well, a lot of good stuff there. The 80-acre farm, it's really not a farm. It's more of a museum anymore, isn't it?
It's a working museum, you bet. Between the crops that are out there in the field, which are planted with modern equipment, because we do have a local renter who takes care of the farm fields, but then, you know, you get into the farm site itself and the old corn crib still works, and there's a single engine that runs the elevator that takes corn up in the corn crib. We'll have Steve Kinkle there from the Hybrid Corn Museum up at Erling. He'll be there in the corn crib this year with his display as well. And then it's always, you know, take a tour of the 1880 Karstens home and see what that looks like. It's, you know, restored and beautiful for folks to walk through and see what a Iowa farmhouse looked like many years ago. So lots of things and lots of variety, and there's pedal power with old hand tools that are on display, little garden tractors and lawnmowers, the original Karstens Stanley steamer, 1917 REO steamer, will be in the parade and on display, and there's even some horses out there. So come out and enjoy the weekend.
Excellent. Lots of great stuff for folks to see and to do and experience. Take some time, because it'll take a little bit of time for you. Set aside some good time to get out there and have some fun during the day. Karstens 1880 Farmstead. I always say it's over there near Shelby. It's not that tough to find.
No, exit 34 and then south. And there are signs off the exit off of Interstate 80, and there are signs that lead you to the farm. So it is easy to get to, and usually there is a parade of tractors headed that way, whether they're on a flatbed or they're on their own four wheels under their own power throughout the weekend, because people are coming and going all the time. So, and I should mention, too, that one of those quilts that will be on display is a raffle, which is also a fundraiser for the farm. So for not too big of an expense, somebody might win and leave with a very nice handmade quilt by the neighborhood quilters around the farm as well. So that's kind of a fun thing that would be a great souvenir and keepsake from Farm Days this year.
Well, very good. Well, Terry, we appreciate all the good work, all the volunteers like yourself and Mel Hersey, the Hersey family. I know there have been a lot of folks who have put a lot of effort into continuing the legacy of the Karstens 1880 Farmstead. We sure appreciate you keeping that alive.
Well, we're glad to do it, and we welcome all of our friends and neighbors from your listening area and beyond to come and see us, and there'll be something for everyone.
September 9th and 10th, and the cost is?
It's $5 per person at the gate.
Excellent. Very inexpensive. That's less than you can go see a movie.
That's right, and just as much fun.
You bet. Terry, thank you so much.
Good to talk. Thank you, Jim.